Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking about personalized professional development for teachers with Sherry McMurray from BetterLesson.com. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Sherry McMurray from Better Lesson. Sherry McMurray is the Director of Partnerships in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. for Better Lesson. She has 20 years of education experience. Sherry served as a teacher, guidance counselor, assistant principal, principal, assistant regional superintendent, and deputy chief academic officer in urban school districts in Delaware and Philadelphia. She was focused on turning around two high schools as a principal. Say hi to everyone, Sherry.
Hello, everyone.
Well, thanks for joining me today. And, you know, recently, Sherry, I got to hear you present about Better Lesson in a program in Athens, Georgia. And I talked to several people, a couple superintendents who attended that session that day, and they're very interested in hearing more. And I'm hoping that we can share you out there with all kinds of more people this way. So I thank you for being here today. So before we go any further, tell us a little about you as a principal.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on the show. I'm always super excited to talk about education and teaching and learning. Huge passion of mine, particularly working in underserved populations, which is what my time as a principal was. I was hired as the turnaround principal in two different high schools in Delaware. The first high school that I took over, I had been an assistant principal for just 2.5 years when I was asked to take over high school, and didn't necessarily feel very worthy of that particular role. But then I had the great fortune of not only being surrounded by great leaders, but I invested in myself as well and hired a coach to help me through this journey, because I really didn't want to take any missteps myself as a principal in this situation. And so it was a wonderful experience. And I have always said, when folks ask me what my favorite position has been in my entire career, I have always said that being a high school principal, more so than even working in district office as an assistant superintendent, has been, just one of my favorite positions in working in education.
Awesome. Okay, so you said that it's your favorite position. So tell me one thing that just really made your day when that you really liked about it, being a principal.
Yeah, I'm picking just one.
Oh, come on.
Honestly, it is super difficult to pick just one. I think my greatest accomplishment, what I enjoyed most, was the ability to be able to build a great team, but also instill a sense of student ownership in the school and pride.
Cool.
Which, you know, was lacking. And having students feel good about the school that they're going to is super important. And I was able to accomplish that and felt really good about that.
Nice, nice. That, as a principal, what would you say was the most frustrating aspect of getting training or instructional support for your teaching staff?
Well, I'd have to say that, you know, traditionally, whenever I was a principal, all of your professional development was done on in-service days. So your calendar gets created at the district level. And so maybe you'd have, not long after the school year started, you had an in-service day. The week before school started, you had a couple of days. And then there wasn't another professional development day until December or January. And so it was very scattered and not consistent. So when you're implementing or trying to implement lots of change within a school and school system, in particular teaching practices, the inconsistency of it didn't make the work that you're trying to do sustainable within the classroom. So it wasn't until we were able to move to a sustainable model and getting professional development during the school day during common plan time, which is a lot of creativity in building a master schedule that way, did we start to really see some of the changes that we wanted to realize.
You know what, one of the things that obviously with professional development, I think one of the things that has to happen is that the teacher has to see the staff member, whoever it is, whether it's a building administrator or whatever, they have to see a reason for it, as opposed to it kind of being done to them. And I know some of the best stuff that I've ever, the best learning opportunities I've been in, part of it is that I've had a chance to have some sort of say in what I'm learning. Did you find that to be the case as well?
Absolutely. And I mean, when you think of a staff of 65 teachers and they're all in different learning places and their skill sets and their learning continuum, being an educator and teacher in a classroom, we do that for students where we want to meet them at their readiness levels. But we typically do not do that for our teachers. And if you're going to improve someone's skill set and their craft, you kind of have to get in a much more personalized, you know, approach to improve, you know, teaching and learning in your classrooms. And teachers often did not feel, whenever you have 65 teachers in a room and delivering professional development, that much of what they were hearing pertained necessarily to them, because you've got one presenter trying to meet the needs of 65 different people.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's that, that kind of lends itself to the mind wandering a little bit or whatever when when you're in a big group like that. So let's go ahead and use that kind of like an introduction to moving into Better Lesson. Is it fair to say that Better Lesson is focused on personalized coaching for teachers?
Yeah. So what we oftentimes use this analogy that we're like the eHarmony of the educational process. And what we do is we match teacher coaches with teachers that a school or school system has identified in need of professional development at a personalized level. So what happens is we do this matching process based on the instructional profile of the teacher who's to receive the coaching in such a way that we're meeting that teacher and matching them up with an expert coach. And then they begin this process of professionally developing and taking on challenges and strategies that they're realizing and experiencing in their classroom in a sustainable, consistent way throughout a school year. And it's done virtually twice a month. So that's in a nutshell, kind of the personalized approach that we're using with teachers.
So let's talk a little bit about one of the things you talked about is you talked about virtually twice a month. So the teacher has to have for this coaching to take place. So the teacher sits down at their desktop or laptop and connects with the coach. How does the initial introduction with the coach happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's two different ways. I mean, we really customize everything based on the needs of the school or the school system. So let's say that you're working in a school or school system, and you want us to work with new teachers, first, second year teachers in your school or school system. You say, you know, our challenge is that we have a lot of turnover, and we're getting feedback that we're not supporting our first and second year teachers the way that we should be. So once you've identified whatever the challenge is that you want to fix, whether it's early career teachers, math teachers due to math test assessment scores, trying to implement blended or project-based learning. So whatever the issue or challenge is, and in this instance, what I'm going to kind of take you through is early career teachers. You say, okay, we've identified however many new teachers that we hire each year. You would then partner with Better Lesson. Each teacher that's been identified, we would take an instructional profile on them. How many, it's their first year teaching, what are they teaching? What grade level are they teaching? We survey them as well as the administrative staff who are making the recommendation for coaching. And then we match them with a coach that we feel is going to be most closely aligned to be able to do the best work with this teacher or groups of teachers. And then the first session that we do with them is called a design virtual kickoff call. And during that time, we're really laying the groundwork and doing some vision statement setting with the teacher. You know, how do you envision what a great classroom looks like? And then identifying specific key challenges that the teacher wants to attack and pick apart. And then we leverage our strategy browser. So as a partner, you get access to the strategy browser. And so all of the best practices and strategies are outlined and laid out for teachers on our strategy browser. So coach and the teacher work together, identify a specific strategy aligned to the challenge that they're going to tackle. And you get to see as a teacher the actual implementation of that strategy in the classroom, as well as resources and lesson plans. And then we say, okay, let's do some goal setting here on this specific strategy. What was it you were seeing before you implemented this strategy? Now we're going to implement the strategy and collect some additional data on what we're seeing as a result of implementing this strategy. And then we're going to reflect and monitor how that went and attack another strategy until we hit the outcomes that we wanted to see realized as a result of that challenge that we were experiencing in our classroom. All of this data collection and all of these reflections are captured in a digital growth portfolio through our web-based app.
So the digital web portfolio, is it something that just the coach and the teacher have access to? Is that, or is it something that, I mean, you could set up like access to from, I mean, I guess kind of give me an idea what that is. Is it just like files where they can put stuff, communications between each other, or is it like something that like you could add, if you needed to add an administrator or a supervisor, you could do that? Is that type of thing, or?
Great question. So what happens is the teacher gets a login to the strategy browser and their growth portfolio, their growth map is in this website, as well as all of the lesson plans and resources and the strategy browser itself. Now, the digital portfolio is held and by the teacher according to their login. If an administrator wants access, I mean, typically, best practice would be, let's say if an administrator determines, you know, well, I've got X number of teachers that I'm really concerned about that may or be close to getting to an improvement plan and or on an improvement plan, they're really struggling. The purpose and intent of the teacher and coach relationship is to really empower the teacher in a safe environment, not a evaluative situation. So typically the administrator would not have access to that teacher's login and all of their information. But if it's a situation where a teacher's on an improvement plan, maybe the administrator would write into that improvement plan as part of a best practice that the teacher would share a PDF version of the work that's being done and has been collected in the portfolio.
Cool. So the communications between the coach and teacher are pretty much just between them and except for what needs to be shared with the administrator.
Absolutely. We, and I'm sure that most folks would agree with, one of the important characteristics of having a great coach is integrity, and having a trusting relationship. And so the level of sharing really needs to come from the teacher, and being able to share the work that they're doing and that vulnerability.
Excellent. Thank you. So tell me a little bit about who the coaches are. Who are they?
Yeah, so we pull in coaches from across the United States. We get, on average, about 3 to 5 applications a day of folks wanting to join Better Lesson as instructional coaches with us. They were all in schools and/or school districts serving as teacher leaders or instructional coaches at the district or school-based level. Many of them came to us as part of our partnership with the NEA and the Master Teacher Project. And all of them have 12 plus years of teaching experience. They are self-proclaimed ed tech gurus, and all subscribe to a growth mindset within themselves as professionals, and also as well as their growth mindset in students and their abilities to grow academically as well.
Cool. So 12 plus years of experience. That's nice to have access to that type of a coach. That's cool.
Well, the credibility is just huge for teachers. You know, as you well know, Steve, when you're in the classroom, particularly, in my experience working as high school principal, if I had someone coming in to work with my math teachers and that person had never stepped foot in a math classroom or had not walked in their shoes, credibility kind of instantly went out the window. And so what we're able to do at Better Lesson is we're drawing from expertise outside of one specific region, and we're able to get that content specific to provide that credibility that people, really deserve.
That's awesome. And I think that really speaks to why a coaching model works, because they have that they start connecting with the individual. There's that experience. And you said that it's twice a month when they connect?
Yeah. So they do connect twice a month, and it's done virtually through Skype or Google Hangouts, or whatever platform works best for the teacher. Our coaches, do that. In addition to that, though, there's on-demand access beyond those 2 times a month. So if a teacher is on their coaching session and then finds out a couple days later that they're going to get observed by their administrator and they want to run their lesson plan past their coach, they have the ability to do that. So they can submit their lesson plan to their coach and say, hey, can you take a look at this for me? And can we connect for a few minutes? I want to talk this through. That's all part of the model. And so it's on-demand access. But fidelity to the model, 2 times a month to have those 30 to 45-minute coaching sessions that are done virtually.
Excellent. Just tell me a little bit here. Yeah. Why would a superintendent want to know more?
Well, that's a good question too. So a superintendent would want to know more if they're trying to solve a particular challenge or issue around teacher development. So if you want to move away from the one and dones and the sit and gets of professional development and truly meet teachers at their readiness levels in a way that's non-evaluative, and you can then accelerate teacher growth at a much faster rate than traditional professional development models. And the additional layer onto that is the reflection. And I think that's often missing in a lot of our PD opportunities that we give teachers, is this reflection piece, this growth mindset. So superintendents who are trying to solve a particular issue, whether it's around teacher turnover, whether it's around improving a specific cohort of teachers, whether it's in a subject area or early career teachers or teachers who are nearing the improvement plan process, or teachers who work in very difficult teaching environments and you need to improve their skill sets and you need to do it in an accelerated fashion, then you would likely want to have a conversation with us, because we can definitely help in that regard.
Very cool. You know, it's one of the things that in times now with budgets very tight and so forth, you know, a superintendent would look and say, so, you know, convince me that I should do this. So I thank you for sharing that. What does it cost, or better yet, what could an interested school system expect as the pricing structure? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the cost really, it's a per teacher cost. So depending on how many teachers that you'd like to, you know, service and provide this type of support, that's where the pricing model kind of comes in. The more teachers we support, the lower the price point. We really want to make this affordable to schools and school systems. So we tend to really want to talk and get to know the schools and the school systems that are having these conversations with us about what their needs are, so that we can develop a pricing model for them that best meets them and their needs and their budgetary restrictions. So it's all super customized. But it is, you know, a per teacher rate.
Gotcha. Thank you. From the pricing structure, let's kind of think about, if you could kind of put in a nutshell, how, and I know you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but how Better Lesson is implemented in a school system. Do you see the school systems doing it school system wide, or is it usually targeted within individual schools, or actually even more so than that, that they give principals a little more autonomy and let them choose the teachers that are focused with it, or is it all teachers in the building?
Yeah, we are seeing a little bit of everything. So we have some school districts that are targeting specific schools in their district. And that's typically where folks start out, is identifying, you know, well, what's in our strategic plan? What did I say as a superintendent, or the things that I wanted to accomplish over the next 3 years? And where would I start in realizing that particular goal and objective in my strategic plan? So we're seeing superintendents approach in that vein, whether, you know, it's again, in the strategic plan, if it says something along the lines of, you know, we're losing teachers to other neighboring school districts, and we've identified that it's because of, you know, developing our first year teachers, then that may be an approach. And then consequently, all of those new teachers are spread out across many different schools. We work with other school systems that say, well, we're moving toward a blended, personalized learning approach with our students. And we're piloting it in this particular middle school and this particular high school. So we would only work with those two schools. And then we have some school systems where the building principal is working with us and then introduces us to the school district, says, you guys need this in more than just my school, but, you know, they have the autonomy with their own budgets to be able to, you know, implement this at a school-based level using their building budget. So we see a lot of different avenues.
Okay, cool. So as we're getting ready to close out our conversation here, can you kind of sum up by revisiting what Better Lesson is and how it could be beneficial to teachers and the school districts, just kind of bring us in around a summary of it? I mean, how does it exist?
Yeah, so we exist to work with schools and school systems who are interested in moving away from the one and done and sit and get type of professional development, meeting teachers at their readiness levels with the premise that the teacher's going to receive quality, world-class professional development from an expert coach, one-on-one, virtually, two times a month. So we're talking at least 20 physical touch points over the course of an academic school year. And it's done in such a way that we're using a fast teaching cycle called try, measure, learn. We're trying a new strategy in our classroom. We're monitoring and measuring how that's being implemented. And we're reflecting upon that. And then we are trying another new strategy. And all the while, we're working together to improve practices and create healthy habits, if you will, in our practices as teachers.
Nice. Well, as we're closing, could you suggest where the listeners could go to get in touch with you or to know more about Better Lesson?
Yeah, awesome. So Better Lesson website is www.betterlesson.com. To get in touch with me, my email address is Sherry, Sherry, dot Macbury, Macbury, at betterlesson.com. And I'm very easily accessible through email, probably the best way, or go on our website.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'll have that those links included in the show notes. And so, Sherry, the last two questions have nothing to do with Better Lesson, but they are educational questions I like to ask. So the first one is, if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Try not to go a mile wide and an inch deep on your practices, trying too many things. You know, it's important to get focused on discovering and what works in your classroom, but trying too many things at once will super confuse the issue. And surrounding yourself with a community of educators and learners that help grow you professionally.
Excellent. Excellent. And my last one is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Yeah, I would have to say that would be my high school Spanish teacher. And she always just had a genuine interest in not just my life and academics, but everyone's. And the level of genuineness is, you know, kids can tell if you're being genuine in your approach and your interactions with them. And she always was very genuine, and she connected with all of us in a way that continued to want us to not just do better in her class, but be better citizens.
Excellent. That connection that some teachers just are good at making is just so all important and often lasts for life, which is a cool thing.
Yes.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today. Better Lesson is an incredible, helpful program that I could see it really working well in helping teachers, administrators move forward in their understanding of good practices for the classroom. I wish you the best in all that you do, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.